Welcome back to Season 9 of Talking with Traders. We're into the fifth year of this podcast that began in 2020. Once again, IG have come on board as the sponsor of the podcast. We're truly grateful to have such a global leader in online trading as our sponsors. In the coming weeks, I'll be interviewing various guests from around the globe on the topic of trading. Some of these will be past guests that we invite back onto the show, and some will be new guests. The idea is to attract a broad spectrum of different perspectives from various players in different areas of the markets. None of what you hear here is financial advice, but it is intended to get you thinking about how you might be able to apply what you hear here to your own trading and investing. Remember to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. That way, you'll be notified when new episodes are released. Or if you watch these interviews on YouTube, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and give us a thumbs up and leave a comment if you wish. We welcome the engagement. Once again, thank you to IG for sponsoring this podcast into its fifth year, and thank you, listeners, for your continued support. Now, let's get on to this week's interview. Sometimes it's nice to deviate away from the usual guests, the experts in the industry, and to actually talk to somebody who's a little bit different, comes from slightly left field, and in fact is a guest who probably will resonate with a lot of the listeners to this podcast. I'm talking about a retail trader, someone who, well, in a way, was forced into trading by circumstances and is actually making a success of it. His name is Peter Taylor. He joins us now from the UK. Peter, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to talk to you. As I said in the intro, it's nice to have somebody different. Every now and again, I do these with just a normal retail trader, somebody who's run-of-the-mill, not a well-known face in the industry. And sometimes these interviews actually yield very, very interesting discussions. So I'm looking forward to speaking to you today, Peter. With that in mind, tell us your story. You've told me the story offline, but for the benefit of listeners, give us the story, give us the backstory and how it was that you came to be a trader, because I know it's not something you've always done.
No, not at all. You're absolutely right. So 5 years in production control, 12 years in the military, had an eclectic career. I've been a house husband and really had a married children or a child, and everything was going well, looking to get back into employment when my son, or our son, shall I say, would sort of, get into primary school. And I wasn't getting the interviews, been out of the job market arguably too long, and just completed a distance learning master's degree. And I thought, do you know what? Time is ticking here. I need to sort of get out there and do it. And I said to the wife, I said, listen, just give me 2 years. So I just threw myself into the books. Everything I get my hands on, I read several times, all the classics. And I was very fortunate that I probably had had the classics early on, I think. And that really sort of helped me, really. To get into strategies and understand my psychology and what works for me.
Very interesting. So, and you're 54 years old, right?
I am, yes. An old guy.
Well, not that old, but certainly, not in the start, not in the starting part of your career. Let's put it that way. It's a late entry into the game of trading, but absolutely, it's never too late, I guess. You've been at it for how many years now?
It's 12 years since I was 43. I started back in 2013.
Right. Okay. So a very interesting story. Forced into it in a sense. But clearly you have a passion for it because, as you said, you poured yourself into it. You read all the classics. I mean, just can you give us a couple of those classics for the benefit of the listeners? Some of the books that got you fired up in the beginning.
I mean, clearly Van Tharp, Trade Your Way to Financial Freedom. I was very fortunate to read that very early on, obviously. Yeah. Schweiger's books, but Van Tharp was the one which really sort of set it out for me, and it sort of answers all those questions: what do I want to achieve? What's my psychology? And that's the only thing really for me. You have to sort of understand your psychology to have a trading setup of what you're going to try and trade and how you're going to trade. It's no use trading, being a swing trader if that isn't your psychology. And I needed to earn money, so I was like, hang on, how am I going to do this? I'm not looking for fundamental analysis. I'm looking to sort of do my own thing, which is charts, technical analysis, and literally I was reading everything, listening to everything, podcasts, reading the books, online bulletin boards, just trying to understand what am I trying to achieve. I was very fortunate. I had those 2 years before I had to start then drawing a wage from it or money from it. And that was, and of course, I was lucky. It was a bull market, 2013. And arguably, we've been in one ever since. Yeah. Might have been different if I'd started in 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
You know, but, circumstance, et cetera.
Okay. All right. Now, I mean, we're not going to talk exact numbers because I know we are respecting your privacy, but you and I have spoken off the record and shared the numbers because obviously when it's an unknown guest, I do like to do a little bit of checking and verification that what we're talking about. I've seen the numbers. I mean, they're not big numbers. They are retail trader numbers. You are not swinging millions of pounds around. It's small number. I mean, you're aiming for a couple of hundred pounds per day, right?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
That's exactly what you're looking for. You know, you're gonna get hit occasionally, but you've just got to, you know, keep going. And you can do that, but you've got to build it up, and you've got to build your strategies.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go back a little bit further. I mean, you've done basically the thing that I tell everybody not to do. I get approached by many people who listen to this podcast or who follow my work and the other things that I do. And the story is such a common one. People come along, I've lost my job, or oh, I hate my job and I want to leave the job and I want to start trading for a living. And immediately, you know, that makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up when people tell me that. And my instant reaction is just don't do it, because you're not experienced. You don't know what you're up against. It's like, you know, swimming in shark infested waters. Invariably, people are undercapitalized. They don't have the experience. They think it's easier than it is. And, you know, it's just, they end up, so many of them, becoming a statistic on the top of the CFD websites, which says that at any given time, between 70 and 80% of retail traders lose money. You've gone and done the opposite. You've, you know, come at it well, with some capital, but I know you weren't, you know, you certainly weren't rolling in it when you started this. You started with a relatively small amount of capital. I guess you had no experience to start with.
Absolutely not.
But you went about it in an interesting way. I guess having those first 2 years to treat as sort of your tuition years, I guess, is fortunate. Not a lot of people have that. And I presume in those 2 years, you with your wife presumably working and some capital that you had in the side, you were able to sustain yourself for that time to allow yourself the ability to learn the ropes and then give it a crack.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was the biggest thing, not having to make money straight away, i.e. to, as you rightly say, draw wage from it straight away. Those pressures, I think most people get blown out. If you're going to think, right, I must earn X amount a day. I knew that I needed to do 10, 12 hours worth of research. I knew I needed to read the books. You know, I needed to look at the charts and understand and go down those rabbit holes and build a strategy for me. And you're absolutely right. I probably have done everything that you shouldn't do. But I was like, as I said at the time, you know, just give me 2 years. I think I can do this. It's just going to take 2 years. Was that foolish? Arguably, yes. But when you don't have too many options open to you, it's like, you know, if no one's going to employ you, best you employ yourself, you know, and understand. And I suppose I'm fortunate because I've got a bit of a sort of a I will do this attitude, you know. And you just have to do it, you know, you just have. And the other thing is, I really enjoy it, if I'm brutally honest. When you're, you know, you're on your own, i.e. you are the master of your own destiny, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you can do an hour in the day, you can spend 8 hours in front of the screens.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it is, you know, I'm very fortunate that, as we said, it was a bull market. But, you know, it can be done, and I can show it has been done, you know. There were no courses. I mean, I did speak to a couple of people about courses, but when they were saying, you know, it's 4,000 or 5,000 quid, I thought, hang on a second, that's a reasonable amount of the capital at the moment.
Yeah.
That's a lot. You can buy a lot of books for, should we say, £1,000. And yeah. I did. You know, we went from there.
You're right. You can buy a lot of books. You can also watch a lot of YouTube videos, and there's an awful lot of free material on the internet that you can watch and learn from without having to spend fortunes on courses, which very often are, mediocre at best, some of them.
Absolutely.
But something interesting that you mentioned there is obviously you didn't have a choice in a sense. You were sort of forced into this. And I'm wondering here, was that maybe part of the reason why you've been successful at this, in the sense that you actually had no other option? You had to make this work because it was this or nothing really.
Exactly that.
Whereas I think a lot of people who want to leave their job, because they have this romanticized idea about trading for a living, it's not sometimes it's not an absolute necessity for them to make it work. And maybe for that reason, they don't put the hours in, they don't put the effort in to make a success of it, and end up making all sorts of foolish mistakes. For you, do you think that the fact that you were absolutely up against the wall and you had to make this work was the
Absolutely.
reason you made it success?
I think so. However, though, I would mentally beat myself up, even if I made mistakes, which of course we all do along the way. But I would always like, it's fine, leave that. We go back. We go again. Tomorrow's another day. We go again. We learn. We will print the charts out. We'll look at it. We'll understand on the bigger time frames, the smaller time frames. What am I looking to achieve? What is my strategy? And that is now pretty well nailed in. I know exactly what I'm looking for. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a minute, possibly.
We will in a moment. You mentioned in the intro as well that you had a bit of a military background. And that interests me because when one thinks military, one automatically thinks discipline. And do you think that that discipline being drummed into you, perhaps it's something you thrive on, but is that something that's manifested itself in your trading, which has also helped to make a success of this?
It has helped, but of course, yeah, absolutely. You start as a mechanical sort of, I'm only going to X, I'm only going to put X on, and I'll cut it there. But then, of course, as you go through, you start to make those mistakes, or you start to then get in. Sorry, going back to your question, yeah, I think it probably was discipline did help in a big way. But as you rightly said, that it was. I thought, look, I've got to do this. We've got a family. I'm fortunate. I've been given this chance, and it has to be done. And yeah, I was very, very fortunate, I have to say, but yes, you have to be very disciplined, and you must put those hours in, otherwise it's just not going to work. You can follow someone's system, but if you're going to trade, you're going to try and go out there and get your own bread, for want of a better expression. What are you doing? You need to sort of generate those ideas, or on a technical basis, what are you looking for, and go from there and get your position sizing right, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those specifics around strategy and around position sizing and all of that sort of thing. I mean, first up, what do you trade? Let's start there.
So it is UK shares only. There is no leverage. I will go DMA, direct market access. We've got your level twos. I'll look at the levels. AIM shares 300 million and above for liquidity. I will look at other companies and FTSE 350 and 100, but they've got to be headquartered outside the UK for obvious tax reasons. So I shall look at those. And it's only a specific set of companies. I'm not looking at 2,700 companies. I'm not, which initially I did. I would literally spend, an hour plus going through RNSs, and I'm like, why am I looking at this? Let's try and narrow this down. It's day trading. I need to just focus on, strip it all away. What am I just, and we've got it down to about 40 companies. Knowing those stories, is it up with events? Is it good news? Is it bad news? Where are we? So you've got to get it into you as to what you're doing. A lot of people don't like technical analysis. They think it's, a bit woo and a bit wee and a bit wee. Well, it does work, but obviously sometimes it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, you get out of dodge, or why hasn't it worked? Because you've called it wrong, or for whatever number of reasons, it hasn't worked today. Market doesn't like it today. There's something we don't know about it. There's been a report that's been released, et cetera, et cetera. Or there's been a broker downgrade. Okay, all right, I'll take a small hit. We'll move on and go from there and look at it again, and see where the buyers are and think the next levels and what have you. So I'm very discretionary, and that gives you freedom, but you still have to discipline what you're doing, so you never put it all on black. So probably.
Yeah, so it's interesting that it sounds like you've got a nice combination of, being a discretionary trader, but at the same time having discipline around the types of setups, I suppose, that you're looking at, and the risk and the position sizing and so on. So it's interesting. It's mostly AIM stocks and mostly UK small cap stocks. Is there enough liquidity to be an active day trader there that you're doing this? Because you're a day trader, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just a day trader. Yeah, 300 million and above. I won't go below that because that is illiquid. You're not going to get it. But obviously, first of all, you've got to look at your news, and but you get to know the companies. You get to know the sentiment. Where are we? It's basics, really. In the chart pattern, where is it compared to sort of is it top 5, 10% of the the is the share price top 5, 10% for the year? Is it trending up? Is it looking good? Is it stalling out? Have management changed their strategy? We've seen that before. Have they improved their strategy, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, being a day trader, you can only, if you're in a company, you close your position, you've made the profit for the day, and the next day it then gets taken out 30%. You've just got to accept it. That's part of the game. However, if you then keep it, and there's been a bit of naughtiness on the accounts, and it opens up 30% down. Oh dear, that's unfortunate. That didn't affect me. So you've got it swings and roundabouts, isn't
So you go home flat every night. You don't carry positions overnight.
I very occasionally I would when I started, but that was I'm still trying to get the strategy. But no, always flat.
Okay,
Whether I'm
always
up or
flat.
down, it is what it is. So
Right. And you said no leverage. So
no leverage.
you're playing straight shares. You're not trading CFDs or spread trading or any of that.
Nothing at all. Wouldn't know where to start.
Okay,
So.
okay.
And that's the way it's going to stay. So,
And transaction costs on AIM shares, is that a prohibitive or is there some sort
not
of
at all.
benefit there?
No, not at all. If you're going in with a reasonable amount of size, then you can make what you need to make. So an intraday scalping, it's fine. Some people won't like it, but that's fine. It's not, as Schwager says, there are many, many different ways to trade. It really comes down to your personality, your risk tolerance. And go again, don't you? So it's
Of course, you have to find a style of trading that matches your personality. So
absolutely.
that day trading style is actually, I personally think it doesn't fit a lot of people. I know a lot of people try it, but it's a very difficult, very hands-on type of trading. You've got to be in front of the screens. You've got to be doing your homework thoroughly. How much time do you spend in front of the screen each day on average, do you
Well,
think?
I can do 8 hours, obviously,
Yeah.
but sometimes it's only a couple of hours, depending on what's happening or what hasn't happened.
Right.
It's certainly for the first 4 or 5 years, you've got to put screen time in for the patterns, for how things are moving. You can't, it's screen time, isn't it? You've got to put the hours in. If you don't put the hours in, you don't see what's happening, how shares react to X, Y, and Z, good news, bad news, indifferent news. You can't really say you can't teach the screen time, but you can't really. It's you have to have that experience. It's a bit like learning to drive, isn't it? It's only when the old plates come off. Now you'll learn to drive because you've got other people to interact with. Same with the market, isn't it?
Interesting that. And I was interested what you said a little while back about how you've narrowed down your universe, because you said,
Yes.
you're not looking at 2,700 stocks. It's
No.
impossible to look at all of that as one person. I mean, even if you tried to automate that, I still think it would be an awful lot of work to try and sift through. So you said you've narrowed it down to around about 40 odd companies, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And
And
they,
yeah.
yeah, I mean, my apologies for interrupting. Yeah, some of those will come in and out. And obviously, as others, I have, they're not obviously all, some of those have been taken out. Some of those have had bad news and now no good to look at. But I just replace them for whatever reason. Boo as an example, which was nicely tradable. It's lost 90% of its capital now. It's gone from, I don't know, four billion down to pennies now. So we don't look at it. There's no reason to look at it. But everything things change, and obviously those that start to become, should we say, fashionable, and are better for whatever reasons, then we'll go with that.
Right. Okay. And can you talk to me a bit about the types of setups that you're looking at? I mean, now we've narrowed it down. Obviously, we know it's AIM stocks, and it's not all AIM stocks. It's 40 odd shares that you're looking at in your universe. But once you've done that, what are you looking for specifically in terms of a setup to initiate a trade? What does a trade look like in your world?
Well, first of all, we'll start with the RNSs. So I
Okay.
will know that X amount of RNSs are coming out, regulatory news services, bulletins. So we'll look through that. And is it good news? Is it bad news? Are there companies which have been affected in other sectors, FTSE 100? So I know it's going to then affect this specific share if it's in the same same sort of region, industry. So is it good news? If it's good news, then we'll go from there above market expectations. Let's see where it gaps up, and then we'll trade it from there. I'm looking at obviously specific levels, obviously open high, low close. It's not rocket science, but you've got to trust. Why am I buying it? Have I, you know, I've got the experience. Do we think the market's going to gap up, and is it going to carry on? So it's that sort of thing. I mean, you know, I will trade chart patterns, certainly on the intraday, but obviously I will always look at the daily first of all. Then I'll go down to the intraday, and then we'll go from there. But yeah, I mean, you know, so with level two, you see the buys and sells coming in, you see how it's reacting, you can pick up certain clues, and you just go from there, sort of thing. But it is sort of intuitive in certain respects.
Sure. I can understand that. When you talk about level two now, for the uninitiated listener, that's the depth screen on the buy and sell side. So in effect, you can see the number of bids and the number of offers on the screen and what quantity is available to buy and what quantity is available to sell at various different levels. What's interesting here, and I'm guessing because I'm not an expert on AIM stocks at all, so you can maybe educate me here. But my guess is that that space is not massively dominated by algorithmic trading, is it or isn't it? And if it isn't, is that maybe where there's the opportunity comes in as a retail trader to basically act on the news when it comes out?
Yeah, I think there. Yes, I think you're right. It's sort of I mean, with AIM, people have got this. A little bit of background. AIM stocks are, you know, you don't have your stamp duty on them. They're sort of a place for where people, where companies list. So they can grow and the accounts can be a little bit more, should we say, not quite specific standards. It's not quite it's sort of a Wild West, but some people would say it is. And there have been companies that have been very Wild Westy, and we know that. But a company that really wants to sort of have a proper product and grow, they will then, you know, progress to the LSE and on the main market, or they can stay there. And they can grow, and that's absolutely fine. But for me, I don't mind AIM at all. You can get in and out without a stamp duty. Obviously, that obviously takes the cost down as well. And if you're throwing a bit of size around, you know, you can, I wouldn't say move the market, but you can at least, you get a feel for the sort of the normal market size and whether or not it's a good risk to reward where you think it is now, and particularly, you know, as to why, you know, with chart pattern, you know, double top, bottom, whether it's a channel forming, you know, how you see it, and whether, you know, and that's the good thing about being a discretionary trader. It's up to you whether you want to take it and go from there, sort of thing. However, there are also pitfalls with AIM, which maybe we'll talk about in a minute.
Well, tell me about those pitfalls.
Well, as it is quite shark infested, I've had a few bites when you've been holding stock and there have been shorting reports from our friends across the pond. And that isn't pleasant when you're like, this isn't going to be a good day then. And you're trying to get out of it and you're like, oh, that's blown it and it's all over and it's dropped 5 or 10% or what have you, and you just need to get out and accept it and go, yeah, all right, you know, that wasn't a pleasant gut punch, but it's part of AIM. It doesn't happen very often, but it has happened, and it does happen not very often. I think I can certainly recall twice while I've been trading in 12 years when, you know, I've been holding stock, unfortunately, and it's happened, but it is what it is, I'm afraid. It's no use blaming it. It's you know, it's market sentiment. Well, this could be interesting or not, as the case may be. And, you know, that's the reason why you don't go all in on AIM.
But yeah, that's it. I mean, it's like a bit like boxing, I suppose. If you're going to get in the ring, you've got to expect to get hit occasionally, but also, you know, be very defensive and have your defenses up so that you don't get hit, don't get knocked onto the floor and get counted out. But to that extent, let's talk about risk management. You've mentioned that you don't trade with leverage. All
No,
of your positions are stock only.
yeah, absolutely.
But now position sizing and risk, what are you willing to lose on an individual trade? And again, we can talk percentages. We
Yeah,
don't have to talk
no,
pounds
absolutely.
and pennies.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you start, you're very mechanistic, if that's the case, but then you start getting a bit more, you understand what you're trying to do. So I try, and I haven't got a specific percentage every time I go in as to what I'm trying to make or what I'm, what I'm going to let it breathe at. It really is to do with the setup. So I wouldn't want to lose any more than 1% of the capital on any one trade. And I've made mistakes where we've done that. And as you can see, there's been two or three times where we've had 5% minus days. Fortunately, over the 12 years, which isn't great, but it happens, and you've got to accept you are human. And if you get caught, and that was certainly one of them with Plus, a company which has done very well since that shorting report, unfortunately. But so I will trade anywhere between 5% and 20% of my capital on AIM. It's not a problem. The pot is a reasonable size now. When I started, I was probably pushing it to get what I needed to get to sort of then start to get a wage out. So it's probably 20% to 30% to get that money in and to get it rolling. I was fortunate, obviously, bull market. But yes, now it doesn't feel as bad at all. Because it did feel quite bad, when you're putting that amount, 30% of your capital on it, when you're starting out, you're thinking, geez. But I was fortunate. But now it's much more discretionary. I know that I'm okay with 5% going into a position of the pot size. And if it goes straight away, as they say, if a share starts going in your direction straight away, you've obviously got it right, hopefully, depending on what you're trying to achieve. and obviously, there's different styles. I don't mind scalping. People don't like that, clearly. But I will do a lot of trading if the position is there, and if I think a stock is going to be in play, should we say, for whatever example, then I'll stay there all day, and I will look at it and go from there and build the position or not, as the case may be, in and out until it starts to base, and then people start to think, no, this is too low, and the buyers come in. Well, let's join the train again, sort of thing,
Yes.
and go from there.
Interesting what you said about the fact that your best trades generally start out immediately as winners. And that's something I've come across with many guests that I interview. And it's certainly I've found something that, in my own trading, the best trades generally start to work straight off the bat. There's
Absolutely.
that they never show a loss at all from they work from the first second that you put them on. But then on the other hand, the trades that don't work or that start out on don't do what you're expecting to do. How quickly do you cut those? It sounds like you're generally very quick to cut, unless there's a
I usually am. I usually am. However, I am a human, and sometimes I'll let it breathe, let it go a little bit, and I'm like, okay, all right, I'm going to lose X on this trade today. It's fine. Maybe buy, maybe it'll spike down, or maybe there's been an algo. I mean, today I did get hit on an algo. I was up, and I was like, I'll take this. I was speaking to a friend, and I thought, that's fine. And it went straight back up, and I thought, and I'd already put the levels in, and I was like, damn, fine, it is what it is. I'm in holiday mode, as I said to you before the interview. So, but I accepted it. It is what it is. And that's life. You've got to accept that you will get taken out by that. It is what it is.
It is what it is. No, that's it. Do you have stats on your win and loss rate? So,
Oh,
what percentage
geez.
of your trades are winners and what percentage of them are
I
losers?
don't, because as we discussed offline, if I was to log everything, then it would just be too much. I'd be spending hours, and if I had, X amount of million, then it might be different. I was trading differently, but no, not at all. I think, well, it's reasonable, obviously, because you've obviously seen this sort of what we're doing. But yeah, I mean, we win more than we lose, fortunately, which is good. And obviously, it's fortunate I've been able to sort of build a pot, and with experience, and that's the one thing we're talking about. You start to build a resilience. I mean, before I would get quite stressed about it, if you've lost X and you're thinking, geez, but You come back the next day and it's fine. I always have the passion to come back the next day. You know, it's a new day, isn't it? So we start again, we go again, sort of
Yeah, it's admirable that
thing.
resilience, because I know all of us go through drawdowns at times, and it can affect your psyche.
Yes.
And it's important in this game to maintain a strong mindset to try and stay positive. But it's difficult when the market dishes you up a couple of nasty losses in a row, which it does from time to time. How do you stay mentally strong so that you can do exactly what you said? Just come back every day and say, hey, it's a
Well,
new day. Let's go again.
I think I was fortunate. I know that, as you well know, the percentage-wise, first and second years was some 87 and 67%. However, on the third year, you really started to learn. Because there was one time I thought, "What am I doing here?" It's a raging bull market, clearly. However, by the middle of the third year, I was like, "I saw like 3% down or something." I thought something has gone terribly wrong here. And I think there was a little bit of, as we said, I think maybe the shorting report hit me on that specific year. But I just sort of, right, hang on a second, we just need to accept that and we go again. And as we said at the very beginning, a man with few options, you know, we'll go back and do it. I was just very fortunate, I suppose. I knew that I wanted to do it, a passion for it, and I thought I can do this. And fortunately, we ended up that year 19%. The lowest percentage, obviously, and but that's fine. But it was the actual building of doing it again and accepting it. You just have to accept it, and that is fortunate. Like, it's 12 years; it's not a lot of time in the market. But I have the resilience, and now the capital. If I do, you know, do get a particularly not a pleasant day or a week, we just go again. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
I think it's just a personality thing. I mean, you know, you're on your own, and you've got to go out there and make money. Whether you like it or not, you've got to get out there and you've got to
Yeah.
somewhere. What are the setups? But it's the setups. It's the automated setups you're looking for why you're going to take the trade. You know, as long as you can justify why you've taken the trade. You know, was it a specific level? Was it to do with news, good news? Have you seen something? Do you think, you know, is there buyers coming in? You've got to justify it. Hence, it's good to be discretionary. There are specific setups, but when you're going out, you cannot have a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10 setup every day. They're not going to exist. You know, it's just, you know, after a specific amount of time, you get to feel which are the good setups for whatever the news is or the chart pattern is or macro environment. How's that going? You know, you get a, I think it's just a personality thing. I was very fortunate. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. It sounds like you've got a good handle on greed and fear. They always say those are the forces that drive the market, and it's often where people fall short, actually. They get either too fearful when times are bad, but also get too greedy when things are going well. Doesn't sound like you've got too much problem with those two emotions.
No, I don't think I have. I'm probably still, when you're doing well, I still won't put too much extra on. I'm still with those percentages. Yes, I know the amounts I'm putting on is now considerably more than when I started, but it's just a figure. As long as you're cutting it, you know, if it goes wrong, preferably sooner rather than later, and get out. I don't have that issue. With that said, if you really, I was listening to a podcast recently, actually, and they were saying that the best people are those that can then pony in and keep really pushing it. Well, that's great if you've got, you know, if you've got a bank behind you, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're trading your own money, you know, you've got to make sure that there's no one coming over the hill to sort of save me if I mess this up, you know, or there's another shorting report and I've ponied in, you know, it's not happening, is it? So I have to sort of, as you say, have a good defense, you know, cricketing term, but it's true. You know, you make what you make, and that's fine. I'd rather buy high and then buy higher the next day. With the sentiment going, if I'm thinking, yeah, we're in, it's going up still for whatever reasons, you know. I'd rather do that and close the position, as we discussed before. I'd rather not sort of keep it open and then find out something's gone horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm taking, you know, a month or two or three, I'm giving that back capital wise. And
Yeah.
that isn't pleasant. And we've been there, to be fair. That was year three, as I was talking about. That wasn't pleasant. It's
Yeah.
like, what have I done, you know? So.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. You trade for a living, right? You don't
Yeah.
have any other source of income, no other passive revenue streams
No,
coming in.
nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Fascinating, because most of the time, I mean, I look at myself, I trade, but I certainly haven't had the balls to just go trading and not have anything else. I have various other risk-free income sources which pay the bills. I think it'd be quite terrifying to know that my living is funded purely by whether I'm successful in my trading or not. But I understand you've got a relatively low cost of living, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. 25K will happily sort of see me sort of that's fine for me. You know, if I
For
make
a
that,
year.
absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I
Wow.
mean, you know, we've got no more, I've got no mortgages, etc., which is excellent. So once that is made, that's then put back for the next year's live off, and we keep trading again. And why not? You know,
Yeah.
so put it into the pot and build it. If you've got, should we say, higher income, or sorry, higher outgoings, it depends on where you are. You know, if you're in your 30s and 40s, et cetera, fortunately, going back to the beginning for a little second, I was fortunate that I didn't have any debt, wasn't a mortgage. However, there was a little bit of money, and I thought, got to make this work. So I was very, very fortunate in that respect.
Yeah.
And it
So
has worked.
you had some of the foundational elements right in the
Yeah,
sense that, yeah, you didn't
exactly.
have debt, you didn't have a high cost of
Exactly.
living, you had a bit of capital to work with. And of course, you had some time and obviously a very forgiving partner who gave you the time to learn the ropes.
Absolutely. It wouldn't have happened otherwise, you know, that, but you know, we're talking 10, 12 hours a day. I would literally just read everything. It wasn't sort of, if you're going to make it work, you've got to put the hours in. I think people don't see that. And it is quite, it can be a lonely existence. But that's just a personality thing, isn't it? And some people say, well, you know, it's great if you're starting it off as a youngster, you can get into a trading firm, must be great, you share ideas. However, it can also have the opposite effect. If you're trying to get a strategy and say, well, why don't you do it like this? Where's the clarity of thought going to be? You have to know your own personality, what risks you're willing to take, and why you're willing to do it. It wouldn't have, as I said before, I did look into sort of having a, not a mentor, but certainly looking for training. And I thought, no, I can, maybe that was sort of misplaced, but I don't think it was. Not now, clearly. Maybe somebody said, what are you doing? But fortunately, I never had any of those doubts. I didn't have anybody to call on, as it were. It was just a case of me, the books, and the charts, right? Well, let's learn about this, you know, what's going to happen next, sort of thing. You know, we
Yeah.
start with Investors Chronicles, the shares magazine, then you start building things up and think, right, okay. And then, of course, they're just tip sheets, aren't they? Ultimately, if you're going to be technical, TA bias, then that's your foundation, and then you can do the macro stuff, you know, and go from there. But you want to go out there and you want to understand why you're going out and buying those shares, you know, hopefully to make money on the day. What's your rationale for putting your money, you know, on the line and doing it? And
Yeah.
get that right, then get it right more often than not, and get the position sizing right. You'll do okay in the long run. But of course, you'll still have those mental issues where you'll be, I won't say euphoric, but you'll be on a good streak and you're like, ah, that wasn't right, was it? You know, you cut them, don't you? So.
I guess it's also being in touch with your emotions and understanding
Yeah.
those emotions, knowing when to rein them in and when
Yeah, absolutely.
to play them to your favor, to your advantage.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the greatest job. It's the greatest feeling in the world. You know, you made X in the first 5, 10 minutes. Or you see something setting up and you're thinking, give this X amount of hours, I think, from here, and when it happens. I mean, this morning's one was interesting because I did well initially and I was just like, I thought it should be okay. But something was saying you should really not, you should cut this now and then get back in later. When it did, I thought, yeah, that was really silly, wasn't it? But I was like, yeah, it's a holiday mode, so I just closed it. I spoke to my friend and in Bahrain, and I was like, yeah, it's fine. We're on holiday tomorrow, so
Right. Yeah, I know you're off on holiday tomorrow.
exactly.
And with that, we are heading towards the end of our allotted time. So I'm not going to keep you too much longer, Peter.
No
But
problem.
last question really is advice for someone who wants to follow in your footsteps. And I'm going to say it again that I mean, I think your story is a remarkable one. It's very unusual, but very well, it's a good news story. But personally, I would, anyone that was in the situation that you were in 12 years ago and wants to start trading, my advice would be don't do it because you're not, you don't have the right skills and the experience and whatever. However, you've defied the odds and you have made a success of it. So I'll ask you the question. If someone else comes to you and they're in a similar predicament, like you were, unable to find a job, but have some capital available, have a passion for the markets, you've got a little bit of some of the foundations in place, not all of them, but some of the foundations. What's your advice to someone who wants to, take this dangerous leap of faith into the world of becoming a full-time trader and trying to make a living out of trading?
If they genuinely have got a passion, I have spoken to seven or eight people who have got in touch with me on Facebook, and after 20 minutes with me, they're like, "Do you know what? Thanks, we're not going to get involved," and that's excellent. However, if you genuinely have got a passion for it, read the classics and understand yourself what you're trying to achieve with your psychology. Don't follow somebody else. Just read, read, and read again, and keep going. Because it's the best thing. If you've got a passion, as with anything, if you genuinely want, it won't be work, because you'll be doing something enjoyable. And if you get your success and then go from there, do it. I mean, a little bit harsh to say, I would have said no, but as I said before, if no one's going to employ you, best employ yourself and put the hours in, as I'm well, most self-employed people would say. You'll probably work more for yourself than you ever would with a company. Not sure if that's true nowadays, however. Do it. I would say do it, but accept that you are going to get knockbacks along the way. Hopefully you'll be a lot younger and you'll have other options. Let's put it that way.
Although maybe that point of having no other options might have been the reason for your just sheer bloody mindedness to succeed.
I think I'd like to think that was part of it in the personality and what have you. But you just had I just had to, and yeah. There was no other options, and I thought, no, this is, and I can do this. I felt I could do this. I was fortunate. Obviously, it was a bull market, but you still have to learn it. You can't just, and I made my mistakes along the way, took my hits, but here we are, sort of thing, and enjoying it, and speaking to you, someone like yourself who gives good advice, and obviously, and of
Super.
course, the other thing is, before I go, obviously, the other podcasts, I always found the mental podcast very, very, very helpful, because anybody can look at a chart, I'd argue. I think the basics of charting isn't that difficult. It's the psychological side of, and that is the thing that everybody, I think, sometimes struggles with. I still get those gremlins, but you just got to keep going through it. And the more you more experience you get, the easier it becomes. But it isn't easy. But you'll get there.
What does that say? Set trading is simple but not easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Peter, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thank you very much for your time. As I said, it's interesting to have these conversations from time to time with people who are not in the industry, who are not experts in the field of trading, who have a household name or a big profile. But there are stories out there like yours, which are truly inspirational.
Thank
And
you.
I thank you very much for sharing it with me today and for the listeners.
No, thanks very much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Talking with Traders, sponsored by IG, a world-leading CFD provider. We really are privileged to have such a strong global provider of online trading services as our backer for this podcast series. Remember to subscribe for more episodes by clicking on the subscribe button of your favorite podcast app. Or if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, give us a thumbs up, and leave a comment. We welcome the engagement. Till next time.